They say when a baby is born, so is a mother. But while you are there to help your baby grow into the person he or she is meant to be, who is there to help you? Many women feel lost and alone when they become mothers, wondering, who am I now? Sometimes it feels like the transformation from woman to mother is as radical as a caterpillar's transformation into a butterfly. Did you know that inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar literally turns into goop before it rearranges itself into a butterfly? This podcast is about the goop, what soul transformation looks like as you transition from being a woman to a mom. Your baby's growth matters, but yours does too. You're not alone. I'm your host, Brittany Ming. Welcome to the Motherhood Metamorphosis. Welcome everyone to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I'm your host, Brittany Ming, and today we're talking to Julie Rhodes. Julie K. Rhodes is an actor and author. In March of 2020, Julie was a healthy 30-something woman with a husband, two kids, a pug, and a professional acting career. A month later, she would be fighting an illness that her health team would come to believe was COVID-19. For the next year and a half, the virus would plague Julie with debilitating symptoms. She is the author of Chronic Grace, Prayers, Saints, and Thorns That Stay, published in 2023. So thank you, Julie, for coming on the podcast. I'm really excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Brittany. It's great to be here.
So your story, I know that women are going to resonate with this story because there are so many people who got COVID and so many people who have had long COVID and other health problems come up from COVID. And I think that in our collective effort to try to recover from the trauma of the pandemic, I think it's stories that don't get shared because somehow we just want to be like, let's just get on with it. Let's just get on with life. And we don't hear the stories of people who are still or who have experienced long-term debilitating symptoms from having COVID. So I was wondering if you could tell us your story, starting maybe with your life before and how COVID had changed your life.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I was a really active mom. I had tweens, a boy and a girl. We were just all over the place, you know, to and from practices and events. And I was an actor, mostly in theater. So I was auditioning and performing in musical theater, singing and dancing and memorizing, you know, big chunks of dialogue and standing up on stage and delivering them, you know, multiple times a week. And so we had a very active life and I had a very healthy body. All leading up, all through childhood and into my early adulthood, really was pretty healthy. And then on Easter Sunday in April of 2020, I just started getting this fatigue that settled down on my shoulders. And then later in the afternoon, this fever started. And it would not leave me for the next 18 months.
Oh my gosh. So you had a fever for 18 months?
Yes, I could put a clock by it. It was every afternoon. It was like a low grade, like 100 degree. And it was just enough to make me feel like I couldn't think and I couldn't really function.
Yeah.
And the first 6 months of this, it was added to shortness of breath, a constant cough, a racing heart, the brain fog, of course, and some gastro problems. And so I was totally debilitated for the good first 6 months of this. Out of the blue, you know, it was just very, very crazy. And at the time, you couldn't get a COVID test without meeting like multiple criteria. So I didn't test for COVID till about 2 weeks into the symptoms and my test was negative.
Mm.
And then these symptoms just wouldn't lift. So what happened was I began going to multiple specialists, cardiologist, pulmonologist, infectious disease doctor, immunologist, trying to find out what's going on. And they all were treating the symptoms, but nobody had a clear, comprehensive diagnosis. And so it just kind of set me on a very bewildering path. I never had to be the CEO of my own health before.
Mm.
I didn't know the terminology. I quickly became a Google doctor. I mean, I was always Googling symptoms and trying to find out the background in the immune system, what's going on. And I joined a Facebook group for long-haul COVID fighters. About a month into the pandemic, people were starting to notice that not everybody was healing, even mm-hmm. after they were testing negative. And so they collected themselves online and were just talking, you know, these communities. What did your doctor say about this? My doctor said this. A lot of us were being gaslighted by ER doctors, general practitioners. You know, if you test negative, you don't have COVID. That was the belief. And in the years since, obviously long COVID has become more of a national, become more aware, known in the national vernacular, and the National Institutes of Health has been given a lot of money to research it. So people are recognizing it as a phenomenon, and there's still a lot of people suffering from it. So I, long story short, I did get my health back. And I'm so grateful, but it really gave me an insight into the chronic illness world. There are millions of people suffering from autoimmune disease silently, most of which are women. And there's not a lot of research into a lot of them. And so there are people who are just kind of suffering silently, a lot of moms. And I was kind of unaware of that.
Yeah, definitely. So when you during those 6 months and then stretching into 18 months, can you talk to me about that transition of how you interacted as a mom in your life or as a woman in your professional life and these goals that you had? Can you talk to me about that transition?
Sure. Well, you know, before I got sick, I was trying to homeschool them in a pandemic. I was not a homeschooling mother to begin with, but you know, the school shut down. So for about a month, they shut down in March here in Texas. And for about a month, I was printing stuff off the internet. Like, here's a math sheet for you to work on. Here, let's answer this journaling prompt. Let's find some structure in our day. Let's go for a walk and talk about the trees. Let's name this tree and this piece of foliage.
We were just doing our best. Everyone was just doing their best.
I mean, we were just surviving, you know, and we all have our COVID stories. So that was me just trying to scramble for that. And then I get sick and I can't even get up off the couch. And so I was suddenly, my children were just uneducated, you know, unmoored. And
Feral. They were feral.
they were all over the place. And my poor husband, Gordon, was wrangling them and trying to add structure to their days and trying to come up beside me and come home early from work and try to keep them occupied and engaged. They were 10 and 12 at the time. Now they are 16 and 13. And man, you know, the baby phase was its own thing. This felt like another baby phase. It felt like another postpartum because my body was suddenly out of control. And you know, after you have a baby, your body is out of control. And so it was almost like I don't know how to do this. And then professionally, all of the theaters had shut down. So all of a sudden, I didn't have anything to audition for. How do I do this? How, you know, where is this creative outlet that I felt helped me be a better mom? And that no longer was there. So my identity was dismantled. I didn't have my professional pursuits. I didn't have the capacity to be the mom that I always took for granted that I could be. Definitely not perfect, definitely struggling, but able to cook them a meal, you know, able to take them on a walk, drive them to a thing. And I now was in this mode of I have to protect them. So I don't want to scare them. I need to tell them enough so that they're not confused, which is also scary because they know something's going on because kids are smart. But I didn't want to give them so much information that it would be scary. Because about 6 months into this journey, I also discovered that there was a 70% chance I had thyroid cancer, which necessitated a thyroidectomy. And so we were living with the maybe of that as well. So we had maybe COVID, we had maybe cancer in the mix, and I was just in this whack-a-mole mental space of I need to fix my body, I need to keep the kids out of a panic state and has some semblance of normalcy. So it was very overwhelming.
So as you were going to these doctors, I'm sure they were testing for all kinds of things, and I'm sure they tested your thyroid. That's like the first thing they test in women when they're like, "I'm exhausted all the time." I've had my thyroid tested like 4 times. It's always normal. I guess exhaustion is just like part for the course when you have 5 kids. But so tell me about how they discovered, did you end up having thyroid cancer?
Thank God, no.
Okay.
the genetic profile said it's either 70% chance cancer now or it will become that at some point in your life. So it had not become that. The surgery, however, did set me back in my symptoms. As you might imagine, not having a thyroid is not great for healing. And my body was not doing a great job absorbing and appropriating the Synthroid, the artificial hormones that they give you after that. So I just had a longer road ahead than I ever could have anticipated. And yeah.
Do you feel like with your kids, as moms, fatigue and being on the couch and seeing how this has almost become that horrible word, the new normal, how do you feel like your motherhood looked to them? Were you able to like find a semblance of new type of relationship with them through that, and maybe a new type of relationship with yourself? Or do you feel like you just kept holding on to that hope of like, it's got to change, it's got to get better?
That's a great question. Well, honestly, for the first probably 9 months, I was just in denial. I was going to get better. I was really fighting this new normal. I was not going to accept it because it felt like it would be a surrender. And I didn't want to lay down my arms. I wasn't ready to give in to this or accept this. My kids deserved better than this. I deserved better than this. So I'm going to do everything I can to heal. So I was very much in problem solving mode. I mean, like I said, just going to all the specialists and doing all of the research and interacting with all of the other people in my boat. I did not come to a place of acceptance for a very long time. And this is always so hard for any of us when we have a thorn, because we all have, I say thorns in the book, it's sort of a general metaphor for anything long-term that will not go away, that is unfixable. And mine was a health thing, but we often will have relational struggles or just hang-ups and hurts from the past and things that just we cannot fix. And coming to a place of acceptance is a long and difficult path. And, you know, I did certain things to establish sense of normalcy for my kids. You know, it's kind of small, but we always lit this candle at the beginning of the day. We called it the candle of learning. And that was something we did, you know, before I got sick when we were trying to rein in the schooling. But I kept lighting that every morning, even if I couldn't get out of bed or if I couldn't function, I was like, still lighting this candle. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still going to do this little thing to show my kids that I haven't left, that I might not be able to play with you or move much, but I, your mom, am still here. That was like a little micro ritual that I just held on to. And then, you know, I started journaling prayers a lot for myself. And a lot of it was in an effort to tell myself the truth and God the truth about what was happening and to stop denying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the best way to reconnect with ourselves when we're going through a thorn like this or health issue is to tell the truth and find ways to be honest and vulnerable.
Do you think go ahead, finish what you were saying.
Well, that's scary. I mean, it's a scary thing, especially when you've been telling the doctors the truth, right, about all your symptoms, but you haven't been telling yourself the truth about your fears and what this has done to your identity and what you're afraid it's going to do to the future. So that helped me.
Yeah, I can see how that could be, like you said, 9 months of like you're in just problem solving mode, and then maybe the journaling like helped be like, okay, this is a reality. This is a truth I have to tell to myself. This is maybe a point of acceptance that I have to come to. Like, what if? Yeah. What if this is my life?
That's right. And how can I engage this life? You know, life doesn't end just because it's changed. Are there little things I can do to be myself in this new normal? You know, I would go out and sit in the sun. I would sit and I would just let the breeze wash over me, and I would let the sun shine on me. And when I could, I would just walk to the end of the block and back. And something about being out in nature, about allowing myself space to just be and not to solve, was really healing and comforting and empowering, even though it was very small. You know, there was no grand gestures of, or it was not a fast process. It was these little micro habits that helped reconnect to myself and to God and to my family.
Yeah, I have had times in my life. I remember writing a post about are you showing up in your life? And it was a time where I really didn't, I think it was during the pandemic, but my husband was also deployed. So he had to they were actually like the first Air Force Squadron to deploy during the pandemic. Like it was, they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know, like they were just like, we just have to go. And so like I was 6 months at home, like quarantined with five kids, and I was just, I think my brain wanted to focus on everything we had lost, everything that was like in the past that felt like that was normal life. And I wanted to focus on the future, which was my husband coming home, like things getting better, like the pandemic ending. And it was really hard to just be in the moment and be in today because the day was hard.
Right.
It was the pandemic schooling, it was a baby, it was early teenagers life. I mean, and all those kids in between, it was really hard. And
Yes.
I wrote that little post about are you showing up in your own life? And I thought, I was just like, how can I show up in my own life today, despite all these challenges that are going on? What does it look like for me to show up in my life as myself? And I
Right.
think that can be such a powerful question to ask if you're going through just like an impossible situation that you feel like you don't feel like yourself. You want to be in the past when it was easier. You want to be in the future where something could change and be different. But the moment feels so hard to be in.
That's right. That's right. And it's so hard not to write the end of the story before it takes place. And that's just a natural human thing to do because we are meaning makers, we are storytellers. We want to know how this all shakes out. And we're unwilling to be characters in the novel in the middle. But when you read a novel, you know that those characters are heading somewhere good or somewhere with a resolution. And I remind myself that I'm in the middle and I don't know what's
And you're
coming
not
next.
the omniscient narrator. You're like main character
Exactly.
energy, but you don't know everything.
That's right. But we have this weird God complex where we think we are. We think we have total control and mastery over everything. And it was kind of a gift to be shown my dependency and my I'm not the main character here. There's some
Yeah, or you just have to settle into not knowing. You're like, I have to be a character in this story and not the one pulling all the strings.
right, and I can only do what I can do, so I'm going to do my best. But there is so much mystery in life that I'm never going to understand, and I am. So much of this is above my pay grade. And so what can I be grateful for today? What can I enjoy today? Is there a way that I can love someone better because of this problem in my life and not in spite of it? Do I have a new superpower now where I can enter into other people's thorns and be a gift to them? There are possibilities if we're willing to accept, if we're willing to be open to them, to a life that we didn't expect. And instead of holding on to the narrative that we had always been telling ourselves, how our lives were going to go, how our kids' future and mothering was going to go, our careers. Not that there's anything wrong with planning and working towards goals or any of that. I just think the adventure of life necessitates some surprises, and they're not always good ones,
Yeah,
but there
for
are
sure.
good ones. You know, there's unexpected bad things, there's also unexpected good things.
I was wondering if you could tell us about the title of your book, Chronic Grace. And because, you know, we connect, we can, there's words connections that we have. We think chronic illness, but I was wondering if you could talk about the idea of chronic grace in your life and how you came about the title for your book.
Sure. Well, obviously the word chronic is refers to I think instantly people go to chronic illness, and that is what my story was. when the publisher presented the cover options for the book, there were four different ones, and one of them had a big COVID bug on it. And I was like, nope, nope, this is not a COVID book. I don't want this to be a book about long COVID. That story of long, my story of long COVID was a vehicle for a story of just suffering through an unfixable thorn. So the thorn metaphor, the thorn in your side, what is the thorn in your side today? Is it chronic illness? Is it guilt from the past? Is it a grief that you are still walking through years later? A question you would love to have answered or something resolved in your life, just whatever. And I think the word grace is a surprising counterpoint to the word chronic, because when we think chronic, the second word is always illness, chronic thorn, chronic illness, chronic back pain. It's always something negative after the word chronic. And so I wanted to imply that there was something equally as persistent, equally as present alongside our pain or our thorn, and that is grace. That is something good. And of course, I'm coming from a Christian background, and so through my book, I'm exploring the definition of grace. And I do that through exploring the definition of prayer. So in my book, I'm praying using the insight and the teachings of several Christian mystics and saints who also went through chronic illness. And so through their stories and my prayers, I hope to come to a definition of grace that will help people.
I love that. I love the idea that story can bolster us and keep us going for one more day. And it can be stories from the past, like people who lived, 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, and re realizing that the human condition, like we are individuals, but we are also connected to this larger human experience, and that reading their stories can help us realize we're not alone, even if those people died like hundreds of years ago. But also, I think, like reading the stories of saints or, religious warriors or leaders from the past is in the same vein as listening to people like you tell your story on a podcast, because you're still presenting your story as one of endurance. You've gone through something hard, but you're still standing. And then people can listen to that, and they also, then they're like, oh, I'm not alone. I am connected to the greater human experience of endurance and hope and grace through painful experiences. And
Absolutely.
I just think that's really, really beautiful. And I'm so thankful for people who tell their stories and like in book form, but also on the podcast. So I'm excited to share your book here and share your story.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, books have gotten me through a lot of hard things in my life. When I was pregnant and really morning sick, I read this book called Girlfriend's Guide to Pregnancy.
I read that too.
I
That's
loved
a great
that
book.
book. Yeah, and her just being vulnerable and honest and hilarious about just the pregnancy problems, and that was such a lifeline for me, and it wasn't this profound thing. It was just, gosh, she's a friend. I know her. And then when I was going through my chronic illness here, I read a book by Sarah Ramey called The Lady's Handbook for Her Mysterious Illness.
Oh,
And
that's a great title.
I know. And she also has this really crazy saga of pain and illness. And when most people talk about their health struggles, you kind of tune out and it's boring. But her, the way she wrote it was so engaging. And we do need to hear that people are asking the same questions we are, suffering the same sorts of things, and hang on to the insights that they glean in
Yeah.
whatever time and culture.
So when did you feel like you started to feel like yourself again? And can you tell us how you've regained your life as both a woman and a mom?
Wow. Well, I started working with a functional medicine nutritionist. I don't know if you're familiar with functional medicine, but it takes kind of a 30,000 foot view of your health and very systematically goes down a long, extensive checklist to rule out certain problems that might be contributing to your ongoing illness or fatigue. And I had an amazing person in that who helped me. And through a long, that long checklist, we were able to reestablish some foundations of health that I had been missing. You know, we healed my gut, for instance. We discovered I had some tick-borne bacteria. It wasn't Lyme disease, but I had tested positive for some tick-borne bacteria that we believe was making it difficult for me to heal. So previously, I wasn't aware of a tick bite, but you know. And there was another thing that we discovered along the way that, oh gosh, this is something that's probably contributing to this. So we worked together for about a year, and my fevers were kind of the last thing to dissipate, and they kind of lifted in February of 2022. And it was in February of 2022 that I was cast in and began rehearsals for a play at a local theater. And
Oh.
it was You know, it was my first time back in the theater, getting back into, you know, fully staged rehearsals with audiences and then opening a show. Just felt like such a full circle moment of, wow, I can think again. Wow, I don't need to like sit down. I can stand here. The first thought in my mind is not, oh gosh, I feel bad. I'm gonna get through this. My first thought is, how can I make is whatever I'm working on. And since then, I really have become more grateful in general as a person, but also just not taking for granted my health every single day. Just to be able to sit here and talk to you and feel like I'm myself. What a gift. I would have never thought to be thankful for that 3 years ago. But I get to, and I am, you know, the story I was writing at the time was, you might die. You might not live to see next year. And here I am getting to enjoy the sunlight. And I took a walk this morning. And my dog sat with me next to the fire. And I made my kids eggs for breakfast. What a privilege. So I have to say that I am very grateful for a lot of what I went through, just for that.
How do you think that you said that you have the ability to enter into the experiences of others who are going through chronic illness? How do you feel like you're showing up in your life in different ways, now that you've gone through this experience?
Well, I think I have a newfound spidey sense for how to help other people more instinctively in their problems than I did before. I hear of a friend who's sick or who needs something, and I don't ask them, what do you need? Or let me know if there's anything I can do. I like say, I'm dropping off a meal. I'm bringing you this. And it's not something because I know that's what she wants, but I would not have had access to that unless I had gone through what I did. I don't think any of us can, or maybe the more kinder, thoughtful people out there are more naturally gifted that way. I was not. And so I'm grateful to be a little more, I hope, in tune with the suffering of other people and just the ability to meet needs where I can, or just to be more sensitive, hopefully, and patient with people and more gracious towards people who can't function at their fullest capacity. I'm such a list maker and achiever. I'm an Enneagram 3, if that means anything to anybody. So I'm very drawn towards achievement and pulling yourself by your bootstraps and pushing through. And I think I've become a lot gentler towards myself. And less of a tyrant towards other people, my life, hopefully, working on that. Just I feel like I go more gently through the day now than I did. And I hope that continues. I hope this is not a lesson I have to relearn.
You're like, I've learned it. We don't have to do it again.
I have to say that when I'm going through, you know, a really anxious thing, I'm like, what did I write in that one chapter about surrender? Let me go back. I need to like, oh yeah, chapter 5. Okay, stillness. That's right. Saint Francis of Assisi. Check. Let me just revisit what he said.
My husband will remind me of things I've written. I was like, "Do you know why I write those things? It's because I need them. It's not because I've learned that lesson. It's because I
Yeah.
need them myself."
Right. This is the book I need to go back and refer to myself. So
Yes.
it's very, very selfish. It's a peek into my deficiencies here.
What would you tell another woman who's walking the same path as you did, who finds herself in unexpectedly in a long chronic illness?
Well, don't write the story before it's over. That's the first thing. And then, the second thing, we talk a lot about self-care. That's kind of a buzzword in this world, and I always associated self-care with manicures and massages and bath bombs, and all those things are valid and great in their times. It's not economical for all of us, though. And so, for me, finding time to focus on something else out of myself was so helpful. Taking time at the beginning of every day just to breathe deeply. For me, it was to pray through the journal or to sit in the sun, as I said, to connect with nature, to take my eyes off my problem and onto the wider world and to God. When we have a thorn, well, at least for me, I was identifying with it so tightly. It was who I was. I was a sick person. This was who I was all of a sudden. And I think the best thing we can do for our own self-care is to take our focus off of ourselves and our just for a moment every day in whatever way we find is helpful. And I think, at least for me, when I was able to snatch a moment, I got a book of prayers from a friend. When I was able to pray those things, when I was able to tell the truth in a journal or sit in the sun or take a walk, I instantly was able to breathe deeper, and the world seemed bigger to me. And those don't have to be big, grand gestures, because a lot of times we're just not capable of it.
Yeah, just to having that small moment to think. I think that that's so important, even for women who are, they're going through maybe postpartum and your world feels like it has shrunk to the size of your aching body and the crying baby and the feeling that you don't know what you're doing. And sometimes just being like, okay, in this moment, we're both gonna just stand on the porch in our pajamas, and we're just going to feel the sun on us for a few minutes and breathe.
Right.
And sometimes that can just lift you out of that maybe very, very tight, confining world that you feel like you're in, and just be like, okay, we can make it for 5 more minutes again.
That's right. That's right. Or put my mom gave me an advice after postpartum. She was like, just put mascara on. Just put mascara on every day. You will feel more like yourself. You will feel, less trapped just by doing
Yes.
these little things.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily like because you want to look better. It's when you want to feel more like yourself.
Yes,
And so,
exactly.
yeah, when you can't recognize yourself when you're going through a hard time, it's those little rituals to help you get through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Julie, I'm so thankful for this conversation today. I know that a lot of people are going to love listening to your story, and I hope that they will check out your book. To end our time, I was wondering if you could tell us what is one thing you're doing to enjoy your life this week?
Well, I've been taking long walks recently. And they feel so luxurious, just the time to take a walk in the middle of the day. And it's a privilege to be able to have that time. And I just it feels so freeing to walk under trees and to breathe deeply. And like I said, I wasn't able to do that 3 years ago. And so, it's a way to reconnect with myself and with God and with nature. And I listen to some great podcasts, some great music, and say hi to people as I walk. And it's just a little way that that I can disassociate my identity from my schedule and my to-do list. And it feels really rebellious and empowering.
Yes, rebellion as a form of enjoyment. I love it. By taking long walks.
That's right. It's super aggressive.
Where can we find you online?
JulieKRhodes.com. You could also find the book at chronicgracebook.com. When you join my newsletter on my website, I'm giving away free downloadable artwork that my friends at Lola Lorena designed for our readers, and they're beautiful. They print off to trim to an 8x10, or you could save them on your desktop or your phone, and they're just beautiful floral prints with some text that encouraged me. Grace can start anywhere. Grace can start on your walls if you need a little encouragement and beauty in your life. So I would love to give that to you and anybody who would want it. And
I love that. I will definitely share the links in the show notes. So I hope people will check that out and join your newsletter and get those artworks. That's really special. Well, Julie, thanks so much for joining us today.
thank you so much for having me.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I hoped you enjoyed this conversation and it gave you some good food for thought. If you haven't ever done so, could you hop over to Apple Podcasts on your phone, scroll down, and leave a review? Leaving a review really, really helps boost the podcast visibility in Apple Podcasts, and it encourages me to keep going. It also helps other people find the show, and if you're like me and you are looking for a new podcast, you read reviews and you figure out, hey, is this something that I want to spend my time on? So leaving a review really helps in all those ways. Next, if you'd like to support the podcast financially, I'd encourage you to go to Buy Me a Coffee. You can find the link in the show notes or on the Facebook page, the Motherhood Metamorphosis Podcast. And you can leave a small donation. These help cover the monthly costs and also help cover my time for producing this. There's also some really fun freebies in the shop on Buy Me a Coffee, some art that I've created, and some mental health resources for kids that I would like to share with you. There's also the opportunity to talk with me if you'd like to schedule a virtual coffee and chat. I would love to hear your story, to listen, to hear you, and to give you encouragement in your motherhood journey. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you join us next time.